So our first speaker is Dr. Vivian Sanchez. She's an assistant professor of surgery at the Boston University School of Medicine and the VA Boston Healthcare. She'll be arguing all umbilical hernias should be repaired.
Good morning. My name is Vivian Sanchez. I have no disclosures. I always think it's important to start with a little bit of a historical context, and I want you to remember Queen Caroline of Ansbach. She was the Queen of England in the 1700s, and she developed an umbilical hernia. And during an official event, she had an acute incarceration, eventually requiring surgery without anesthesia. They had to resect a piece of bowel, and she died a very painful death two weeks later from peritonitis. Just to start with also a little bit of a definition, an umbilical hernia is a defect not just at the umbilicus, but also 3 centimeters above to 3 centimeters below within the lateral margins of the rectus sheath. There's approximately 175,000 repairs in the United States. They encompass about 10% of all abdominal wall hernias, and the prevalence is between 0.5 and 2. And here you can see on this graph that umbilical hernias are more common in men, and they're most likely to be repaired when men are in their 50s and 60s. Women have less of a likelihood of having an umbilical hernia, and when they do require repairs, they're usually in their 30s and their 40s. The etiology is completely unclear, and it's associated with other hernias, obesity, and pregnancy. We do not have a current practice standard as to what, how we should repair them and when we should repair them. For the most part, we repair them when they're symptomatic, and then the question remains, what do we do when they're asymptomatic? I pulled 4 studies that I thought were very important to help us in this debate. And the first study is from Kokotovic, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from 2016. It's a Danish study of 789 patients referred to a single center's surgery clinic for umbilical and epigastric hernias, although the majority were the umbilical hernias. 43% were watchfully followed. These are just some of the reasons why they were watchfully followed, but the main reason was that there was little to none hernia discomfort in approximately 72%. And so who was this watchfully waited group? Because you'll probably answer that they were higher comorbidities or they weren't that symptomatic. And so you'll find that it was 341 patients, no difference in sex or defect size, but they were older and less likely to have recurrent hernias. What I want you to see here is that of those that were watchfully waited, 38 patients out of 341 crossed over. And if you look at this Kaplan-Meier curve, 16% crossover rate from watchful waiting to surgery at a median of 15 months. But it's not just watchfully waiting. There was actually 11 out of 38 crossovers that required an emergent repair. And the Kaplan-Meier estimated risk of requiring emergent surgery at 5 years was 4%. That is not a small, insignificant number. What were some of the risk factors for crossover in their study? Recurrent hernias, increasing hernia size, and BMI over 30. And what's also interesting is that the lack of symptoms does not eliminate the risk of emergent surgery. If you could see here this graph, the great majority of patients that crossed over were asymptomatic. There was approximately 30 that were asymptomatic. And this is the risk of elective surgery after crossover. This is not in their emergent cases. And the authors will argue that this is not significant, that it's safe to watch. But look at these numbers. Make your own opinions. A 30-day mortality of 3.7% versus those that were offered initial surgery of 0% mortality. And again, these are elective crossovers, not the emergence. This was further substantiated in our own study from the VA from 2017, where we found that emergent or semi-urgent umbilical hernia repairs had a 2.2 times increased odds of mortality. Furthermore, in our third study by Helgstrand, it's also a Danish from the Danish study, there is also a higher 30-day mortality. And here what they looked at is they looked at early outcomes of elective versus emergency surgery. And again, look at the 15 times increased relative risk if you require an emergent repair, the 13 times higher rate of reoperation if you have an emergency repair, and the 3 times higher readmission rate if you require an emergency repair. In addition to this, you're more likely to require bowel resection. And so some of the risk factors in their study were female sex, older age, medium-sized hernia defects between 2 and 7 centimeters, and recurrence actually seemed to offer a protective benefit. But if you still don't believe me, this is the last and final study. This is a fiscal study from the Truven Health Database of over 3,000 hospitals and over 30,000 patients. Approximately 49% were watchfully waited. Look at these statistically significant differences. The total payments, length of stay, office visits, ER visits, and days off for work were all statistically higher in those that were watchfully waited. So, in summary, there's a 16% probability of requiring surgery if you're watchfully waited. There's a 4% probability of requiring emergency surgery if you're watchfully waited. Asymptomatic umbilical hernias do not protect you from crossing over. Females, older patients, patients with hernias larger than 2 centimeters, obesity, and non-recurrent hernias are more likely to require emergent repair. Patients who undergo emergent repairs are more likely to require a bowel resection. The 30-day mortality is anywhere between 2 and 15 times higher. That's unacceptable. Reoperation rates, readmission rates are higher in patients who require emergent surgery. But also from a fiscal standpoint, it's just more expensive to watchfully wait. Just do it. Thank you.